Hi there, it's Karen again speaking to you from my home and imagining all of you and wondering where you might be. We've been sharing together in a virtual world for quite some time now, and I'm becoming more and more aware of how far-reaching that world is. I know that some people are listening to these podcasts in South Africa. The Facebook live stream have reached friends and family of mine in England. You know, I've heard from people who I went to school with and went to church with many, many decades ago. Connecting so widely is both uplifting and daunting. I have to turn down the dial on the expectations that I have of myself. I need to remind myself that perfection, whatever that is not the aim here. It is taking a chance that against all odds, we are loved and we do not have to get it together before we show up. Now, those last few words are a partial quote from Anne Lamott, and I freely admit that I've taken them out of context here. Anne was actually writing about prayer in her book, Help, Thanks, Wow, The Three Essentials, The Three Essential Prayers. So this is what Anne actually said. Prayer is taking a chance that against all odds and past history, we are loved and chosen and do not have to get it together before we show up. This is something that the writers of the Psalms knew very well, not having to get it together before showing up. The Psalms of Lament, the songs and prayer poems that cry out to God in times of deep distress and despair, asking for help from suffering, sorrow, great loss and failures, all of those psalms show that sense of not having to have it together. The Psalms of Lament, though, are also expressions of trust in God, and trust that things will change and eventually we will find places of hope and joy. And it's interesting to note that there are more lament psalms than any other type of psalm in Hebrew scriptures. In fact, over 50% of the 150 psalms are psalms of lament. So I'd like to share part of Psalm 86 with you now. Please listen, God, and answer my prayer. I'm poor and helpless. Protect me and save me because you are my God. I am your faithful servant and I trust you. Be kind to me. I pray to you all day. Make my heart glad. I serve you and my prayer is sincere. Proud and violent enemies who don't care about you have ganged up to attack and kill me. But you, the Lord God, are kind and merciful. You don't easily get angry, and your love can always be trusted. Oftentimes, reading the Psalms can be a little bit uncomfortable because the feelings of the writer come across so strongly. The cries echo down through the centuries undiminished. There is a sense of raw, naked truth. And Anne Lamott believes that when you are speaking your truth, you are close to God. There are times when deep-seated emotions are not just close to the surface, they're bubbling up and sometimes raging into the world. There are cries of help from those living and working in long-term care facilities. There are long-held pent-up frustrations from Black people being expressed through demonstrations, most often peaceful, but at times violent. I personally recoil from the image of Donald Trump holding a Bible in front of a church. I want to yell from the rooftops that the God that I know and love is being distorted and misused by some people in power. And then I take a breath. And I know that God is always with, as the psalmist says, the poor and helpless rather than the proud and violent. God shows up with the powerless as we try and change the world and make it a more loving and equitable place. So what does showing up mean for us in these times? It's about saying how you feel. And I don't know what that might be for you, but it might include saying, I don't have a clue if you exist, God, but I need help. The world needs help. So in a sense, our prayers can be our real selves trying to communicate with the real truth, with God. And Lamata imagines what it might be like if each one of us brought our real selves into the conversation with God. She writes, it would bring tears to my eyes, tears of pride in each of you for the courage that it takes to get real, really real. It would make me want to sit next to you at the dinner table. Our dinner tables are very different right now due to physical distancing. But the spiritual distance doesn't have to be so great. We can still maintain and nurture our sense of connectedness. But a question for me is, who do I sit at the table with? It's a question that Jesus asked himself over and over again and then lived it out in so many different ways. In a conversation recently with my daughter Gemma, she shared an action that she's taking. She's looking at all her news feeds, people that she is friends with on Facebook and other social media platforms, the people she follows and who follow her, the YouTube channels she watches. And she is assessing, are there diverse voices represented there? And she challenged me to have a look at those contacts and where we are sourcing our information. Is it coming from a similar place? Is it coming from people who are very similar to ourselves? There is a challenge here to try and include as many diverse perspectives and voices as we possibly can. It doesn't mean that we have to agree with them, but at least be open to their perspective. So wherever and however you show up, let's make our tables as large and diverse as they possibly can be. May the conversation be real and allow for expressions of anguish and pain. And as we leave the table, let us commit to action. So some thoughts to ponder and think about. thank you so much for showing up and listening to this podcast. May you stay well in body, mind, and spirit till we get together the next time.